All right, what does the Bible say? This has been our subject. This has been our theme. This has been our series now for a few weeks as we have been taking some time and looking at different topics. We don't do a lot of topical preaching, more expository preaching in our church, but believe the Lord would have us pause and kind of begin to look at some subjects in the Word of God, not only to stir and encourage our heart in the moment, but to also have some ammunition and some things that we can take to be able to use as a blessing to others, some learning tools, maybe some things that you would be able to apply personally and build you a little bit of a library. By the way, every Christian ought to have a little library at your house. Some books that you should have. Number one is a Bible. Number two, you ought to have a book called a Strong's Concordance. A Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Another book you could have is a Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament and Old Testament Words. And then maybe a commentary. And if you don't know what a commentary is, you see me and I can recommend some. But you need some tools at your house. Some of these are available online. Some of these are available through your phone or whatever. But you do need some biblical tools. You have kitchen utensils, right? You have tools in your tool shed. You have other tools. You need some Bible tools. They'll help you. Be amazed at how much you will learn and develop and grow if you just simply use the right tool. You ever tried to screw a flathead screw in with a Phillips screwdriver? A little bit frustrating, isn't it? So same way if you don't have some tools. Tonight I want to take a word that in a subject that I believe is important in your life, important in my life. And I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of what does the Bible say about chastening. You could use the word correction. You could use that word. What does the Bible say about chastening? Now, when we talk about this word chastening, I did not understand the depth of it until I began to study this, but we're talking about correction in our lives. We're talking about something that everyone is familiar with, and we're talking about a Bible subject that really and truthfully does a lot in your life. And a lot of times when we think about chastening, we simply think about a parent chastening or punishing their child, and that's part of it. But there's two major foundations of chastening in the Bible. Look, if you would, please, at Hebrews chapter 12. And I'll show you this just so you that don't have children don't think I'm not preaching to you, or you grandparents don't think I'm not preaching to you. The message tonight is applicable for everyone. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 7, we'll just pick up for sake of time. He says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with what class? Sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. We know what the word bastard is. It's the word illegitimate. It's used as a curse word today, but it does have a clean meaning to it. And you're not sons. Verse number 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our, what's that word? Flesh. Which corrected us. Now, if your dad corrected you and you still remember it, say amen. I still remember it. It says here in verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the, what's that word class? And notice the spelling of that word. It's capital F, which is a reference to the Lord. or to God, subject unto the Father of spirits, and live. And so when the Bible talks about chastening, the Bible is talking and leading us to a parent's responsibility to their children. It's also leading us not only for our earthly father, but for our heavenly father. So there is a wide scope and reach to this word, chastening. As a parent, you have a responsibility to chasten your children. I'll show this to you. I mean, it is explicit in your responsibility. It is important in your responsibility. As children of God, we also know the experience of being chastened. And so whether you're a parent in the room, there's a direction for you tonight, but there's also a direction for all of God's people, as where the parent will discipline on our earthly side, our earthly children, our heavenly father disciplines us. Now, I asked you about your earthly father. I want to ask you about your heavenly father. Can you remember a time in your life when you were chastened by your heavenly father? Think about that. Can you recall right now, or thinking about, have I ever been chastened, disciplined, corrected, spanked, punished by God? Now, the answer to that needs to be yes. Why does it need to be yes? Because there's nobody perfect in this room. The Bible says that God chastens his children. Now, not everybody's God's child. The only people that are God's child are the people that have been born again. But if you've been born again and you're God's child and you go wayward, God's going to chasten you. Now, God's got different degrees where he will chasten you. Sometimes he'll just let the road get rough. Sometimes he'll touch you physically. Sometimes he'll touch you in increments in your physicalness. But I know what it is to be spanked by God. If you do, say amen. If you don't, you need to kind of look and see where you fit in the chastisement of God in your life. So the Bible is going to teach us that there is a direction in this word chastening. It teaches us that as earthly fathers, we chasten our children, but as children of the heavenly father, our heavenly father will chasten us. Now, most of the time, people think of chastening and we think of beating them till they can't walk. I remember when it was still legal for your dad to say, I'm going to beat you till you can't walk. I remember asking my dad sometimes, how many am I going to get? Sometimes he would say three. Sometimes he would say five. Twice in my life, I remember him saying, until I'm tired. Both of those times, I had wronged my mother in a way that I should not have wronged her. Chastening is not just corporal punishment. When you unfold the word in the Hebrew and you unfold the word in the Greek, listen to some of the words that define chastening. It would be defined as discipline. It's defined as doctrine, instruction, rebuke. In the New Testament, it's defined as learning, teaching, instruction, nurturing, and punishing. And so it's not just the act of a physical discipline. It includes the entire work of discipline. This work to guide, to teach, to encourage, to rebuke, to instruct, to nurture. All of this is wrapped up in the word chastening. Pastor, who chastens? What does chasten reflect? You're still in the book of Hebrews, go to Proverbs chapter 3. I want you to see this. I'll show you two verses here. Both of them are in Proverbs. I could show you multiple ones, but go to Proverbs chapter 3 and let's start there. Who chastens? We know that God chastens, and we know that our earthly fathers chasten us. What is the point behind chastening? Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord, what? Loveth, he correcteth. So the motivation of God in discipline or in chastening is love. Why would God chasten you? Because he loves you. God chastens his child because he loves his child. And he wants his child to be blessed. He wants his child to go in the right direction. And so chastening comes from love. Look, if you would, please, at Proverbs chapter 13. I got a verse here for our earthly parents. Proverbs 13. Look, if you would, at verse number 24. He that spareth his rod. What's that word, class? I want everybody to read that word on that paper because, man, if you talk about a verse that is not politically correct, you're talking about this verse. He that spareth his rod hateth his kid, but he that loveth him chasteneth, and I've got written there, on his behind. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. So we know that chastening is in the Bible is the whole work of discipline. We understand that as earthly fathers that we are to chasten our children. We understand that the heavenly Father chastens his child. The earthly Father and the heavenly Father should chasten from the same motive. And the motive for chastening is love. Love. Now, the problem is, on the earthly side, very, very, very few parents know how to chasten with love. Most parental discipline is done out of anger. It's done in a sinful way. It's done in a way that does more harm than good. And it's done in a way that gives humanity an opportunity to say, well, spanking doesn't work. I even saw this on Facebook today. Somebody posted an article and under it said spanking doesn't work. I would say this. I would agree that sinful spanking does not work. But biblical spanking does work. By the fact, everything God says works. Okay? So there is a part to this. Now I understand, and I'll talk about how that as on the earthly side, our children do outgrow corporal punishment, but I'll show you the necessity of it while they're young. So let's just work on a couple of things here. Proverbs 13, verse number 24. We read that verse right there. You're there. It says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Now the world's going to tell you that a person who spanks their child hates their child, but the Bible will tell you that a person that spanks their child loves their child. Well, Pastor, we don't spank our children. Then you do not do what the Bible says. Go to Proverbs 23, verse number 13. It's real. It's these kind of messages are easy because the points are right in the verse. Verse number 13 is kind of a little strong here. withhold not correction from the child. For if thou, what's that word? Beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from where, class? From hell. Now, let's make sure we understand what the Bible's saying. It's a sin to beat your child. It is a sin to beat your child in anger. Okay, when God created the human body, God created a very special and unique place with a lot of padding that has the ability to get your attention. Okay? But your child's not going to die from a spanking. But he will go to hell without them. Let's say that again. Your child's not going to die properly, spiritually disciplined. But according to that verse, he'll go to hell without it. Now, our world cares nothing about eternity. But if you know and love God, you care about eternity. Okay? Proverbs 15, verse number 10. This is all introduction. That's why I couldn't take prayer requests tonight. Proverbs 15, verse number 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. He that hateth reproof shall die. So when you're talking about chastening, chastening is supposed to be grievous. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that no chastening seemeth joyful for the moment. What does that mean? That means that when God disciplines me as his child and God chastens me as his child, it hurts. Matter of fact, to this day, I can't bend my thumb all the way back. To this day, I cannot set this elbow on this table right here, or it feels like somebody takes a knife and goes wham right up in here. Every time I drive and put my arm on that thing, that pain comes up and that pain comes up. I do this constantly. To this day, I don't have all my teeth in my mouth that God gave me. Why? Because he knocked them out. And he broke my thumb. And he broke my elbow. And he messed up my shin. Because as a senior in high school, I was wayward. And I was saved. But God knew he had a plan for me. And God was not going to let me be rebellious. And so God spanked me. And I want you to know something. It stinking hurt. It was grievous to me. Matter of fact, you could say I'm scarred by it. But I've also been blessed by it. Because I'm here. And I'm a blessing to you, right? Okay. So I watch these parents spank their children. And there's no grievousness to your spanking. You're doing it wrong. Well, Pastor, I just can't stand to see them cry. You want to see them in hell? Jeremiah chapter 10. Isaiah, Jeremiah. I have to give you Bible verses to everything because after church, when you come up to me and say something, I'm going to say, no, I had a verse for that. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse number 24. Actually, start in verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps, which means man needs correction. Verse 24. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine, what class? Anger. Lest thou bring me to nothing. So here we're talking about, and the Bible says, now if you spare the rod, you hate your child. The Bible says that using that rod, he's not going to die, but you will deliver his soul from hell. The Bible then talks about how that how that the aggressiveness there, it is to be grievous. But discipline is not to be done in anger. Now, parents, we talked about anger. And there is righteous anger and there's unrighteous anger. God, Jesus knew what it was to be angry. Jesus went in that temple and he was angry, but he didn't sin. I promise you, your children are going to make you angry. Your wife's going to make you angry. Your husband's going to make you angry. But when you lash out in anger and discipline your children, you will do more damage than you will do good. And so the world even understands this. Remember the commercials that used to say, count to 10? And then you'd still kill them anyway. I mean, like it. All right. So they understood something about a buffer between a parent and a child. The buffer for a Christian parent ought to be the Holy Spirit of God. And I am to be filled with the Spirit of God constantly so that my behavior is buffeted and led by the Spirit of God. Disciplining in anger will do more harm than it will do in good, do good. And we need to be careful about that. God never disciplines me out of anger. God may be angry at what I'm doing, but he disciplines me in love. I may be angry about what my kid is doing, but I love my kid. And so I want to discipline that kid from love and that perspective there. Go to the book of Psalms. Look at chapter 118 before I give you a list of things to write down. Psalm 118. It's a great verse here about discipline. Psalm 118. Psalm 118:18 says this: the Lord hath chastened me, how, class? Sore. But he hath not given me over unto death. What does that mean? He means there's a balance there in the way that the Lord chastens us. The Lord will chasten his child sorely, but he won't give his child over. And as a parent, when I chasten my children, there's to be a balance there. I definitely want to, and the balance is this, and don't miss this. The balance is you have got to break your child's will, but you cannot break your child's spirit. There is a difference between the rebellious will of a child and the tender spirit of a child. Anger will crush a child's spirit, Ephesians chapter 6. Proper discipline, proper chastening will break their will. If you don't break your child's will, then somehow that will is going to have to be incarcerated. Because nobody has the right to do to totality their will. And even in society, our wills have to be submitted. I mean, I don't like driving 55 or 70. I want to go 100 mile an hour. But my will's got to be checked. I don't like doing certain things, but my will's got to be submitted. And what discipline is designed, and we'll talk to you just a minute about this, is discipline is designed to break that will and to melt that spirit. And so, yes, there is a corporal side to chastening. Pastor, we work by timeouts. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. Now, there's a time where you say, sit down right there. There's a time you say, you're not going to do this today. There's a time, but there's also a time when you pick up that belt and you spank your child. Okay? I can pretty much tell you, and I mean this honestly and kindly, but as the pastor, I can pretty much tell you who spanks and who doesn't in our church. How, Pastor? Okay. When I was a little boy, if I ran past my dad and my dad said, Tommy, stop it, and I just kept running, That just didn't happen in my house. Did that happen at your house? No. I watch parents stand in the hallway and they try to stop their child with their voice. If that's my kid, somewhere in my closet, I'm falling on my face and I'm saying, God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. Because a kid only responds to a parent's voice if he's got something to be afraid of. You can go to all the psychologists you want. You can go all to the professionals. You can go to any school you want to. But God's people have the greatest handbook ever written by anyone. Okay? Well, Pastor, why is it so important? Oh, I was hoping you would ask me that question. Now, here's where you got to take your pen out and write some things. We may not get here all the way. Why is chastening so important? Let's start in Proverbs 19. Let's make our way through some verses here. I'll give you about 7 or 8 things to write down. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 18. Chasten thy son while there is what, class? Hope. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. I can remember my dad would say, why are you crying? I haven't even touched you. Do you remember him saying, I'm going to give you something to cry about? Okay? So even the Bible says, don't despair for the crying of your kid. All right? Now, why is discipline so important and chastening so important? He says, chasten thy son while there is what, class? Hope. So biblical discipline, biblical chastening brings hope to that child. It brings hope to his correction. It brings hope to his salvation. It brings hope to those things. Now, there's also within this verse the timing. You know, my son's 14 years old. I don't spank him anymore. I can't. It does worse now to spank him. Than it does. That's why you chasten your kids when they're small. Now, my kids aren't in here, are they? Okay. Madison is a sweetheart. She's got the personality. She's a pleasing personality. She's 18 years old. I had one time in my life when I really had to discipline Madison. She was about 4 years old. She wouldn't take her medicine. And at first, take your medicine. Take your medicine. Then, man, she arched that back. And she got defiant. Okay. Take your medicine or your daddy's going to spank you. No. I took her down, spanked her, sat her back on the thing. Take your medicine. No. Took her down, spanked her again. About the fourth time of doing that, now I'm shaking. Now I'm crying. I mean, she's screaming no, and I'm thinking, I can't back down now. I can't stop. And so now I got her down, and it's getting to where it's getting aggressive. Probably about the fifth or sixth time, I finally sat her up on that counter and I said, Maddie, Daddy wants you to take your medicine. Okay, I'll take my medicine. And she took her medicine. I don't think I ever spanked her again after 4 years of age. Now, why do I tell you that story? She had enough rebellion at 4 years old to arch her back and be defiant. I thank God that over the last 14 years, I've had one of the most beautiful children you could ever have, because her will got broken in that kitchen, but her spirit didn't. So you discipline your children while they're young, while there's hope. So then later, when you run into that rebellion and you begin to discipline them, then all you're doing is you're just angering them. So you young parents, I used to be a young parent. You new parents, you need to understand your responsibility. Even God, once I got saved, but God began to discipline me right after I got saved. Right. To show me that that's not the way you're going to go. So why is discipline so important? It brings hope to your home. Hope to those children. Look, if you would, at chapter 29, verse number 17 in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 29, verse 17. Correct thy son. That's the word chasten. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee what? Rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. So one of the reasons discipline is so important in your home and disciplining your child is it brings a rest to your home. Pastor, it seems like that my home is just chaotic. Right. That's why there needs to be that corporal discipline, that loving discipline and all that. Now listen, discipline is hard work. There are times all I thought I did all day was spank my son. You don't know which one that is. It's hard work to be a parent. It's exhausting work to be consistent in your discipline. If you're out there and you're exhausted from the consistency of discipline, welcome to the club. And God's people would say amen to that. Okay. However, that staying the course will bring rest and it will make your children a delight. A delight. Look, if you would. We already talked about Proverbs 13:24. Write this down as number three. It proves love. Proves love. Why is it so important? It brings hope. It brings rest to your home. It proves your love. Go to chapter 20 of the book of Proverbs and look, if you would, at verse number 30. Chapter 20, verse 30. Now, you just got to read this, because this verse is not politically correct. You think they're mad at Donald Trump for the things he says. You let somebody read this verse on national television and see what they do. I'll just let you read it with your own eyes, then I'll read it out loud. Chapter 20, verse 30. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away what, class? Evil. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. It's talking about rebellion there. Now, the Bible's not telling you to beat your kid black and blue. But when you apply a spanking to a child's bottom, sometimes there will be blueness. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. Why is discipline so important? Why is chastening so important? It cleanseth away evil. I'll let you wrestle with that. Please don't go out of here and say, Pastor Hunter told me to make you black and blue. I am not saying that. I will say this, as your pastor, you hit your child anywhere but on their bottom. I want to be careful here. You hit your child anywhere but on their bottom, you're out of order. You're out of order. You hit your wife, you're a fool. Wife, if you hit your husband, you're an idiot. Happens all the time. Happened 2 weeks ago, had to deal with it. Okay? So God created some of you. He knew was going to be real rebellious because he created a lot of target area right there. I remember one time, Beverly and I were real nervous because we had to spank one of our kids and we were getting them ready for church, and we noticed that the little belt mark was there. I thought, oh man, we're going to put them in the nursery and we're going to get in trouble here. But the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. What really and truthfully what's that talking about is it takes a little bit of effort to get somebody's attention. Okay? Chapter 22, look if you would at verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Why is discipline so important? Why is chastening so important? It drives away foolishness. Why is foolishness so dangerous? Because the Bible says the fool has said there is no God. So foolishness will bring you to a place where you deny God. I don't want foolishness in my child. Foolishness was born in my child the same way it was born in me. And the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And so I remember, man, I love my dad, but I got spanked for doing a lot of foolish things. He didn't want foolishness to develop in there. Look, if you would, at chapter 29, verse 15. I got one more after this. Chapter 29, verse 15. The rod and, what's that word? Reproof. Give what? Wisdom. Well, Pastor, we don't use paddles. We discipline with words. Well, the Bible says words have a place. Verse 15. But if you want your child to have wisdom, you got to add to those words the rod. Rod and reproof giveth wisdom. And so a child that's not properly chastened is a child that lacks wisdom. Hebrews chapter 12 is a beautiful verse. Go to verse number 11. I know everybody is in here thinking, well, I don't have children, so he's not preaching at me. Oh, I'm saving my best point for you, baby. You, grandma and grandpa, are about to get a good one. Hebrews chapter 12, look if you would at verse number 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the, what's that word? Peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Why is chastening so important? Because it brings peace. It brings peace. It brings peace to your home. It brings peace to that child. It brings peace to within and the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those that are exercised thereby. So, earthly parents, why is chastening so important? Because it brings hope. Because it brings blessing. Because it proves your love. Because it cleanses away the evil in their heart. It drives away foolishness. It gives wisdom, and it brings peace. And every one of those points comes straight from the Word of God, and God's people should say amen to that. So let me say this to you, Christian. Why does God discipline you? So you'll know hope. So you'll know blessing. It proves His love. It's designed to cleanse away the evil in our lives. It's designed to keep us from foolishness. It's designed to bring wisdom to our lives. And it's designed to bring peace. To finish my personal testimony, had God not spanked me my senior year, I'd have thrown my life in the toilet. I literally would have thrown my life in the toilet. And I look back at that now and I say, thank you, God, for loving me. Anybody else had that experience? Say amen. I'm glad He loves me and He disciplines me. My last verse is Proverbs 15, verse number 10. Proverbs 15, verse number 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall do what? Shall die. He's talking about a stubborn and a rebellion there that can go both ways. There's application in both situations. There's application to an earthly child. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. He doesn't appreciate that. He hates reproof, but it can also be talking to God's child. God's child can hate correction, and God's child can hate reproof. Hate reproof. Hate correction. I hope you understand as a Christian your need for to be disciplined by the Lord. I hope that we don't hate his reproof. You know, when it comes down to it, his way is perfect. His way is perfect. And we need to see the disciplined hand of God motivated by love and leading us and protecting us from ourselves, protecting us from direction there. And if I hate reproof, the consequence of that is destruction. And so I would encourage you to not hate the Lord for his reproof, but love the Lord for his reproof. I'm telling you right now, you call yourself a Christian, and you have a habitual, consistent sin that you just will not relieve. You better be able to stop and look around and see the hand, the belt of God. You say you're a Christian and you have something hidden and you know no chastisement from God by that, there is nothing hid from God. That ought to make you tremble. Because our mind says, I'm getting away with it. And God says, you don't belong to me. You spank my child, you go to jail. And God won't spank someone who's not his child. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Pretty serious. Parents, we need the Lord to raise our children. I see some kids that are in here. I see kids all around. I want our kids to know that, man, when we discipline them, it's because we love them. You better tell your kid that. Pastor, I am exhausted. Yeah. Welcome to the club. I lost my hair. So have some wits about you. Take some time off. Get you a babysitter. Give your kids to mom and dad. Take your Bible. Take your spouse. Get yourselves alone. Get alone with God. Spend some time with God. Get refreshed and renewed. Man, I'll tell you, we need to be refreshed and renewed. All right. Good lesson, amen? All right, let's pray.